out here in far western Kentucky, we have considerable activity in cemetery preservation, especially in Land Between the Lakes and other areas. But I was struck by the two new programs that you are introducing, and I wondered if you could give us kind of an overview of what you're doing now, and then let's talk about what the two new initiatives are as well.
Okay. This program has been ongoing for a number of years. I've been here since 2001, and it has evolved from just basically passing out just a little packet of information to these wonderful workshops and bringing on and aboard a lot of people who are really interested in cemetery preservation. And it goes from eastern Kentucky all the way literally to Murray and to all around western Kentucky. So what it started out being, like I said, was this packet of information. Then we realized that there were so much information that people really did need to know, such as the Kentucky cemetery laws, the Attorney General's opinions, which talks about access to the cemetery on private property, information such as how to clean the stones, what to use, what not to use, how to map a cemetery. I tell people all the time, it was my Oprah aha moment, if you will, when I realized that mapping the cemetery is as much, if not more important than just documenting the names. We have lots of books here in the library where people over the years, wonderful people, have gone out and documented cemeteries in the counties, and they list their name and the dates of death and birth, that type of information. But it dawned on me one day when I was looking up something for someone, is like, okay, if I went to that cemetery, how would I find these people? They're listed, but there's no map to show me. And if you go to these older cemeteries where Mother Nature and time have actually taken the wording from the stones, how is it possible to find people? So I was on a quest from there on to just really make people understand how important it is to map the cemetery. And I mean literally draw a map of the cemetery and put people where they actually are within the boundaries. So that's what these workshops are talking about, is all of these wonderful things that go into cemetery preservation, from the laws to the deed to how to get the cemetery on the deed, which is really important for developers and for county surveyors, to people to protect their land that has a cemetery on it. And then these two new programs that you mentioned, all of this, of course, is made possible by the wonderful funding from the Steel Reese Foundation. I can't say enough about Steel Reese. They've provided the financial backing for us to expand this program. And these two new programs are a direct result of the Steel Reese Foundation's funding. So one of them is the Adopt-A-Cemetery program. And by that, I mean it can be an individual, an organization, a county cemetery board, that you would just like adopt a cemetery that is not anything related to your family. It would actually probably be for non-descendants, if you will. So just anybody that's generally interested in just taking up the adoption of a little cemetery somewhere that they want to preserve. The other program is the Kentucky Pioneer Cemetery program, and this one was started with the idea by my former boss, who was Carla Nicholson, back when I first came here, and we tried to get it going then and finally have just now gotten it off the ground. And basically, you can identify a cemetery as a Kentucky Pioneer Cemetery as long as the main criteria is that it was established and accepting burials by 1842. So any cemetery with those dates and prior can be designated as a Kentucky Pioneer Cemetery. We are also in the process of working with the company that designs the big highway historical markers to do a marker for the Pioneer Cemeteries. It will be have the design of the Kentucky coffee tree, which was the original historical tree of Kentucky. And it will be for those cemeteries who meet that criteria, then they can buy a marker. We'll have a dedication ceremony and that type of thing. So that's an exciting time for us, for sure.
I'm thinking that you may already have some candidates for the Pioneer Cemetery Program.
There are, as a matter of fact, I talked with a lady from Alabama this morning. We've been conversing back and forth for probably a year. She's been waiting on this program. Her family cemetery will qualify as a Kentucky Pioneer Cemetery, so she's excited to get the packet. And our design studio is, as we speak, designing the packet so that we can get both of these programs out and running at the first workshop, which is April the 13th.
And I'm assuming that you guys have a considerable website at the Kentucky Historical Society, and these will be available at that site, I would think.
I would think they were. They will be available through me as well. And they, if somebody wants a packet, I'll be happy to send it to them, I think, by email or by hard copy. And they can read the criteria and what is required for each of these programs.
How does one invite you to conduct a workshop in a community, and is there a charge, or what are the logistics?
Well, at the current time, I'm limited because of the Steel Reese grant to the 54 counties of the Appalachian region that the Steel Reese Foundation covers. That's why all of these workshops will be from Boyd County all the way down through the eastern counties through some of the southeastern counties. I have done workshops before in the other counties of the state until this grant, and I'm just a little bit limited at right now to these 54 counties. But once this grant is finished, we hope to take the information that we have developed through this grant process and be able to use it for the rest of the state.
Tell me about the access to the Kentucky Historical Society's Cemetery Preservation Database.
There are two databases on the website. One is the one that was started by the Historical Society 20-something years ago. There were multiple people that worked on that database, and basically it was information submitted. It was keyed into the database, and it actually lists the name of the cemetery and the people who are buried in that cemetery. You can well imagine what a daunting task that was, and they did a really, really good job as far as they got. I think they got midway into the alphabet, if you will, but they have not been able to do any more with that database since about 2003. Now, there's another database, which I call mine, and the reason I call it mine is I inherited it from the Attorney General's office, and it was the one that was done by Ben Chandler and his office back in 2000 and 2001. It is found on our website. It's under the Digital Collections section of the library. If you go there, you can type in Kentucky Cemetery Database, and I have 11,000 cemeteries on that database, and they are listed alphabetically by county. And the ones that are there, in addition to the ones that Ben Chandler's office initially did, I've added to it over the years, and they're all there. What you see on that database, however, is not all the information that I have for some of these cemeteries. At the time people sent in these surveys, they also attached photographs, genealogy, that type of thing, which we did not have space on the database on our website in order to put all that information. I have it here. It's readily available for anybody who wants to see it. So there is a disclaimer, if you will, call it that, at that digital area of the database that says there's more information here. So I continue to add cemeteries to that database. People continue to register cemeteries with me. It's just an education component that we try so hard to get the information out to people to say, register your cemeteries if I don't already have them, because that's the thrust of this program in the very beginning, was to document as many cemeteries in the state as we could. So we've made a little bit of a dent with 11,000, but I do believe there's many, many, many more out there that we'll never find, probably.
Well, I'd like to go back to one of the workshop subject areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming when you say access to family cemeteries, mm-hmm. you're talking about if someone else owns the property.
That's correct.
What is the law in that respect?
Well, it's a huge issue, can be a huge issue. This is something that I have run into time and time again with this program, mainly because what you find is that people are doing genealogy research and say they live in Alabama or whatever, and they have found their family cemetery, but it's not on land that their family now owns. It's owned by someone else. And there is no actual Kentucky statute that I've ever been able to find. I'll have to say it that way. I've not found a law that says they're to be given access, but what I have found and have copies of are the Attorney General's opinions that were written by multiple attorneys general over the years that address the issue of access by descendants to a cemetery on property that they do not own. And basically, all of the opinions say the appellate, which is, means the landowner, knew the cemetery was on the property when they bought it and therefore must give ingress and egress at reasonable times to the descendants for visitation to the cemetery. So this case law, it's been recognized in the courts for a long time, and that's the only written basis that we have that talks about access that I'm aware of, allowing the landowner has to let the descendants on the property. It has been a huge issue. I've worked with a lot of parents and just descendants that have worked for literally years trying to get access to the family cemetery, spent thousands of dollars in legal fees. It's just a real problem. And then on the other side, you have to also know that there are some landowners that welcome the people, welcome the descendants, take them to the cemetery, help them erect fences around it, you know, that type of thing. So it does go both ways, but the access sometimes can be an issue.
Have you ever worked with a family who wanted to physically move the remains?
I have not personally worked with the family wanting them to move, but I was involved to a certain extent with a cemetery here in Frankfort that was moved to build a shopping center. And it was done with the utmost respect, I have to say. The county coroner was involved. The people that disinterred the remains did it with the utmost respect. The family was involved. The attorney for the developer was involved. And it was done the right way. It really was. It was nice to see the respect given to the people who were buried there because they'd been there for quite a long time.
Yeah. We're speaking with Ann Johnson of the Cemetery Preservation Program of the Kentucky Historical Society. Ann, I have to admit that I didn't know you existed.
Well, it's okay. There's a lot of people that don't know that the program is here, there we go with the workshops. That's what we're trying to do, is to get the word out about this program. And I'm grateful for the media. You and several other radio stations have picked up, and I'm just grateful to get the opportunity to talk to you, to tell people I'm here. The program is here. We welcome questions. I welcome input. Just anything that people are interested in cemetery preservation, we all need to work together.
Thank you very much for your time, Ann.
You are very welcome, and thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You can reach Ann Johnson at area code 502-564-1792, extension 4404, or by email at anng.johnson@ky.gov. And you can see all about this at the Kentucky Historical Society site, which is history.ky.gov.